and welcome to Noreen Sumpter's show. Noreen is running late. Her show is called Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And this is Ruth filling in for Noreen. She should be here in just a few minutes. And I know that she's probably going to talk about an incident that happened to her on the subway. And when you're a New Yorker, every day you have subway stories, and there's no shortage of them. So this one was very upsetting for her, and it happened earlier this week. And she's going to be walking in a few seconds to tell you all about it. And I wasn't prepared to be talking to you today, so I don't really have that much to say, and I'm just waiting. And here she is.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm going to hand you over.
Ah. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. Sorry for my tardiness. Oh my God, just been running all day. So, this is Noreen Sumpter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And that was my altered ego stepping in. Thank you so much. So, oh my God, where am I coming from? I'm coming from a networking event for a friend of mine who has this event that she does every so often. And it was in Midtown, and not Midtown, it was lower downtown by Fulton Street. Oh my God, it's gotten so pretty down there. I haven't been down there in so long, and it's just gotten absolutely beautiful. The subway is incredible. Oh my God, so, so beautiful. I went to the WeWorks. They have a brand new WeWorks that just opened up down there, and that's where I was. And I was eating finger sandwiches and drinking wine and cider. And she was talking about networking and social media, and that was one of my weak areas. So I got sort of engrossed in the conversation, left on time, but then realized that I didn't have my wallet. How did I get to downtown without my wallet from Brooklyn? Well, Via. You know, with Via, you don't have to have money. So I completely didn't realize that I didn't have my wallet. But fortunately, my brother had given me $20, pay me back for something, and it was in my bag. And otherwise, I would have had to work my way through the subway system without paying. But I'm here, and it's Tuesday night, and I'm excited to be here because it's Tuesday. And of course, Tuesday is my favorite time of the week. And it's just great. I'm very, very happy to be here. And tonight, it's just me and my lonesome. And I'm going to be talking about a smile. You know, one of the conversations that I've been having a lot lately, like what's important with a smile? Why is a smile so important? But anyway, before we get into that, I just want to share with you my week and what I've been up to. So my brother was in town for a couple of days, and that was nice. It was nice to have somebody staying in my apartment. I love company. Right. So it was nice to have somebody staying in my apartment, another life form, you know. And one of the things I realized is like when we live by ourselves, we can be kind of selfish. Right. And fortunately, I wasn't selfish, but I can see where, you know, I live by myself. So if I go out and get coffee, it's usually I get coffee for myself. I don't really get coffee for another person. So I have to be conscious. Oh, there's another human being in my apartment with me. I have to step in and say to him, would you like some coffee? Rather than just jetting out and getting a coffee for myself and coming back without coffee for them. So I got to see that. And also in sharing, like just conversation, because I found myself, even though my brother and I, we talk a lot and we get along really well. But it's like when you live by yourself and you're in your apartment, you know, you have a certain amount of conversation. It's generally on the phone or it's like social media or internet or something, right? But now you've got this human being. You got this human being in your house. They're sharing your space. They're sitting on your couch. They're laying on your couch. They're sleeping on your couch, right? And so you kind of have to, like, you just have to be generous, you know, in your spirit and stuff like that. And like, I can't just get on the couch because that's his bed, right? I can't just get on the couch and lounge around. Or if I'm watching, fortunately, he liked the program that I was watching. I've been watching this docu-soap about Cecilia Cruz, who is was a Latin American music star or whatever. I don't kind of know the music, but I think it's like, from what I've been watching about the show, they've got bachata, merengue, all this Latin music. So I've been watching that show and I've been sort of addicted to it because I really like about her story. Talks about her whole life in Cuba before the Castro regime and what the Castro regime did and all this stuff. So I've been watching that, and it's really good because he actually enjoyed the show. And last night I caught him before he left today, but I caught him watching it, right? So it was really good. And what I found is that, like, my Spanish is getting better. Boca. What else do I know? Silence. And a few little things that I'm picking up with Spanish. And I figured if by the time the documentary is over, I should have a working knowledge of Spanish. Not. So last week, I just have to share about this because I've been sharing about it last week. And it really impacted my life. But I don't want to talk about that yet. I'm going to go into what I did over the weekend. So if you guys remember last year, I had Brooklyn Fashion Week on. It is now Brooklyn Fashion Week in Brooklyn. And if you guys want to check it out, it's awesome. It's even better than it was last year. The fashions are really great. The conversations are really great. All the topics that they're going to talk about. They have this event tomorrow, which is called denim, and everybody that shows up has to wear denim. So denim is not my favorite thing. I've got ugly denim. Denim is just to sort of like walk around. It's not really to look pretty. I've got ugly denim. So tomorrow I'm going to be wearing ugly denim. I'm not going to buy new denim clothes. I'm just going to wear ugly denim, right? And I hope my personality shines out and my smile gives it all away. So anyway, last week I was on my way to see my dear friend Ruth because we were recording my show at M&M, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and I had a really bad experience. So some people might not think it's a bad experience. Some people might say it's just your average New York thing. Are we going to get video today? Are we going to have video? Oh, so so it was a horrible experience. So I decided that I was going to take the train from Brooklyn to Manhattan and not ride the, not take a cab, which I usually do. I love taking cabs. If you know me, that's one of my favorite things to do is to take cabs. I love riding in cabs. I don't know what it is, but I just love it. I don't care if my pocket is dry and crispy. I always find cab money. And it doesn't matter where I'm going, I always find it. So anyway, what happened, I get on the train at 14th Street. Ruth has heard this story before. She saw me after I was traumatized. I get on the train at 14th Street and there's this young man lying on the floor of the subway and he's just lying there. And there's like a crowd of people surrounding him. And you know, I remember when I first came here to the United States, I'd always think that New Yorkers were crazy, right? Why is everybody all piled into one car and there's this empty car? And I'd be like, New Yorkers are so crazy. And what I would do is go in that car and literally I wanted to cut my throat out because it smelled so bad, right? So I learned that lesson really, really quickly. Well, anyway, got on the subway and there's this guy lying on the floor, like not in a fetal position, but just sort of like on his side. And I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, why is this guy lying on the side and nobody's helping him? So what I did was I shook his feet, you know, and he didn't move. So I took my bag and like put it on the chair and then started to shake him with both hands. Like, what's going on? Wake up, wake up. Are you okay? Are you okay? And this guy is not responding. So I made a request that if somebody on the train has signal on their phone that they should call 911, and or if you're close to the conductor's cabin, that you should go into the cabin and tell the conductor that there's an unconscious man here. And so I'm shaking him, trying to rouse him a little bit. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just thinking it's a human being. Let's just see if I can do something. So anyway, it seems like there's always the paramedic. There's always, I think they're actually angels, right? But there's always this paramedic that's off duty, right? So he comes in and he puts his gloves on and starts to arouse this man. And he says, did anyone see him fall? And so this woman said, yeah, I saw him fall. He fell on the floor, bumped his head and didn't get up. And I said, what? I said, you saw this man fall on the floor, bump his head and not get up, and you did nothing? I'm like, people, this is a human being here. So, you know, there's always that one person that just wants to get into it with you. I think he's put there for a reason too. But so he wanted to get into what we're supposed to do. Like, when did this man fall on the floor? The paramedic asks. Oh, well, he fell on the floor at Canal Street. We are now at 14th Street, right? The guy could have been dead. He could have been in a coma. He could have been had a diabetic shock. He could have had narcolepsy. He could have had a heart attack. There's a million things that could have happened to him. But this guy says, well, what are we supposed to do? Stop the train for every bum that goes by? I'm like, yeah, if he's in the middle of the train, which is unusual. You never really see people in the middle of the train. You see them lounged on the seats, but you never see somebody on the floor in the middle of the train. Of course, you stop the train. He goes, are we supposed to stop the train for every bum? This is New York. I'm a New Yorker. I'm like, yes, it's a human being, people. How is it possible that a person is on the floor? Mind you, it was a young black boy, right? On the floor. And nobody does anything. That's just not acceptable. I was devastated. I mean, literally, I started crying on the spot because it felt like somebody had taken a scrub brush and just rubbed it against my heart. That I could not, and I still refuse to believe that. I mean, even though I saw it with my own eyes, I still refuse to believe that New Yorkers are that cold and we're that unfeeling and uncaring, and we would just leave a person in the middle of a platform. It's unacceptable. So I'm just going to say that it is critically important that we look out for each other. I put that on the internet and two of my friends responded. One has two children. She fell and bumped her head last year, had a brain bleed, was in the subway, needed support. People just walked by her. She woke up in a coma 4 days later. And what the report said that she was a drug addict and alcoholic, which she doesn't do drugs and she doesn't drink. So I don't understand. Then another friend of mine, she said, I was sitting on the stairs because I couldn't get up. I didn't have the strength to raise my hand. She's hypoglycemic. She was having an attack and people just walking by her. She goes, if it were not for one person that said, can I help you and call the ambulance, she would not have been able to tell that story. So basically all I'm saying is I am you. And you are me. We are our brothers and sisters keeper. We are our brothers and sisters keeper. And if you can step over another person on the subway that's down on the floor and need support, people can step over you. And I think that there needs to be some kind of PSA or there needs to be some kind of campaign. And I'm like, do I have to create it? If I have to, then I will. But, you know, we need to look out for each other. We can't be that desensitized. So anyway, I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
we're back. I mean, I don't know if you heard my little rift about that, but I don't think it's a little rift. I think it's really, anyway, let me just say, beyond potential, live life your way before I go into it, because my sister will tell me off. But I really think that it's important that we realize that we're a, New York City is us. New York City is not, I mean, I know I'm sort of going off my topic tonight, but I think it's really important for me to talk about this. You know, I can't talk about smiling and being happy when, you know, we're all shitting over each other in the city and not caring about each other. You know, I think it's really important. I think New York City is not the buildings. You know, New York City is us. Because if you take the people out of New York City, all it would be is like just buildings, right? We are the ones that make the city. And I was having a conversation with this gentleman about New Yorkers, and he was saying that New Yorkers in the world, we're labeled as tough people, big and bad and tough. And, you know, we got all that. We can give it all that, you know? And the truth of the matter is we're not. We're cowardly little people. And I charge anyone to argue with me on that point. I think that we're cowardly. We can be cowardly little people. And I think on Thursday when I was riding the subway, we were being cowardly little people because we did not care about that human being. You know, nobody cared. I mean, I'm sure there are thousands of stories in this city of people collapsing, needing assistance, and they're not getting it. Or they, you know, people dying. And I heard a story of a man that was riding on subway back and forth and he was dead. You know, but nobody took a moment to sort of check in and see if that person was okay. Maybe I'm just nosy, you know, but I'd rather be a nosy person that's looking out for the best interest of myself and everyone around us instead of just stepping over people. It's inappropriate. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for what we say we want, which is we all say that we want peace on this planet, right? But you know, I used to say, yeah, I want peace on the planet. You know, it's like goodwill to all men, all that, you know, the Christian stuff. And I didn't even know what that actually meant, right? I didn't actually know what peace on the planet meant until I realized, oh, it like kind of dawned on me with all the development work that I've been doing, all the coaching that I've been doing, all the, you know, all the things, the development, the life stuff that I've been doing that I'm committed to, that peace on earth starts with me. When I have peace in my soul and peace in my being, I can give peace away to everyone. But until I have that, I can't give it away to anybody else. It's like everything that we need is inside of us, right? That even that smile, that happiness that I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to interweave it in. But like it's inside of us. It's not outside. And how we access it is to have it come from, it takes courage to shake that man. It took courage for me to shake that man because he could have, you know, young boy, he could have woken up and said to me, or he could have got up and said, leave me the fuck alone. What are you doing? Or he could have, I don't know, he could have punched me in the face, right? But it's a risk that I had to take. We have to take courage. I mean, yes, he could have had some kind of, I know, communicable disease if I touched him, I disintegrated. But it's a risk that I was willing to take, you know? We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone, looking good, and a fear of what somebody might say to us if we do a good thing. I would be absolutely full of shit if I talk all this stuff, I'm coaching, I'm supporting people to really live life their way and, you know, really to expand themselves and be personally developed and all that. And that I saw that man on the floor and I did nothing about it. I would have just gone home and hung up my shingle, hung up my, because I'd be full of shit, right? I could not not do anything. It was, for me, it was automatic. I had to do something. And like I said, I am my brother's and sister's keeper. And it doesn't matter if he was a neo-Nazi, doesn't matter if he was a drug addict, doesn't matter if he was a homeless person, doesn't matter. He's somebody's son. He's somebody's child. He's somebody's something. And I could not and would not step over that. So I think, I don't know. Am I done? Am I done with this? I mean, I cried for 3 days. I don't even want to think about it because I cried literally for 3 days. I cried Thursday when I was with you. And when I got home, I cried again. And Saturday morning when I woke up, I cried again. In the afternoon, I just crying about it. Because, and it's not even just crying about, you know, for myself, but like, I just refuse to believe that this is who we are as people. And I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that we can be so cold and uncaring and callous that we could just leave a human being to just die on the floor, die on the subway, on the floor like a, no, I can't even say like an animal, because had it been an animal, we would have taken, you know, and I'm not saying that animals are not worthy, but life, human life is really worthy, you know? I mean, if we can help an animal, we can help a human being. Yeah, that's just my, oh my God. It's so, people, like, what are we going to do? What steps are we going to take? How are we going to support each other? I don't know what's going on in the news because I don't read the news and I don't listen to the news. But the cab driver told me that there was a 24-hour kind of moratorium made about what we're going to do with Syria. I didn't even know what was going on in Syria. But, like, first and foremost, we need to mind our own business here. And we need to heal ourselves and get ourselves straight before we start poking our noses in other people's business, right? So I don't really know what's going on over there. And if you do, you want to chime in. If you have anything to say about this conversation, call me at 877-480-4120 and chime in. Like, tell me something that's happened to you on the subway. Tell me how we could start like a PSA, a campaign to sort of like help each other on the subway. Like, you know, we have the say something, see something, but that ain't bloody working either. Say something, see something, see something, say something, do something about something on the subway, right? But nobody's doing anything about that either. I don't even think I was like on the subway. This is something that happened to me on the subway last year. So I'm on the subway, riding home on the Q train, da-di-da-di-da-di-do, happy day, you know, it's really nice and sunny. And I see these two people coming towards me, right? And they're like, did you see that? And the other guy's, yeah, she just left it there, right? And she just left the bag there and walked off the subway. How could she just leave her bag there and walk off the subway? My ears prick up. I'm like, what? Somebody did what? So she goes, the lady, she just left her bag there and walked off the subway. And said, and what did you do? She goes, we came up here. I said, oh, really? I said, so shrapnel, if the bag blows up and the train blows up, it doesn't fly, right? It's not going to come down this end, right? So she said, what do you mean? I said, why didn't you press the button and tell the conductor? Well, you know, it was like, I didn't think about it. We didn't, you know, we just sort of got out of the way of the bag. Like, but if there were a bomb or some kind of destructive device in that bag, we're going across the bridge, Manhattan Bridge, water, we'd have all been fucked, basically, you know? So I go into like full steam, like, you know, take action right away. So I'm looking, and on the newer trains, there's that button that you can press. There's a button, and a little, it's not really clear what it is, but you can press a button and it goes, it hits, and the conductor can hear you. And you tell, I told the conductor there's a bag. The lady got off the train apparently and left a bag on the chair. So he goes, okay, I'll be right there. Right. So we're going across and I'm like, he's not coming. I mean, like, there's got to be more than one person riding on this subway. Right. There's got to be more than one conductor, I'm thinking. So we're sort of, you know, not across the water yet, but I buzzed again because I'm getting impatient. Right. So I buzzed again. I said, it's still here. The bag's still here. When are you coming? He says, I can't come. Oh, God, have mercy. He says, I can't come now. I've got to come when we're in the subway station, right? So ticking, 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 it could have been, right? So he gets into the subway station and he literally drags his ass up to the carriage, right? Kind of pokes at the bag a little bit, right? Looks in. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, right? Looks in, starts pulling out a scarf and he goes, pokes it a little bit more. Oh, there's nothing in it. He just takes it and walks off. So, mind you, I'm at a stop now. And a couple people were like, because I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. I should have gone because it could have been a bomb. But anyway, so So this woman goes to me, you know, I saw the bag. I saw it, you know, but I'm doing the English accent. I'm sorry. She didn't speak like that. But she says, I saw the bag, but I didn't know what to do. And I said to her, what do you mean you didn't know what to do? She goes, I just didn't know what to do. So everybody in that car, literally, we would have been dead, right? Because nobody knew what to do. And if they knew what to do, they weren't going to do anything because I really think that they didn't want to be made to look like an idiot, right? Well, let me tell you, I'd rather look like an idiot and be whole than an idiot and all fucking decapitated. All right. So if I've got to say something, I'm going to do it. And it's just unacceptable. Is it unacceptable or is it because we're ignorant? We don't really know what to do or we don't know how to manage ourselves in this situation. Or are we just sort of looking out for self? Well, I got off the subway. Tough shit if they don't. Tough shit if that bomb goes off while they're on. At least I'm home. I mean, is it fear that we are in trying times. I think we're in trying times and we have to be alert to what is going on around us. I have to be able to, like I said, I am your keeper and you are my keeper. I am my brother's and sister's keeper. And if I'm on the subway and I see something weird and funky, I'm going to do what I think is right to do. Press the button, have a conversation, talk to somebody, find a police, do something. But I don't know. I think that en masse, we need some serious PSAs or we need some serious training or we need something. Something is missing in this city. There is way too many of us in this city to not do anything about something. And like, I would hate to see an emergency in this city. The amount of us, I mean, there'll be some trampled people. There are going to be some trampled people. And I know we're good. All of us are good people at heart because I experienced it in 9/11. Right? We all came together. We all supported each other. But we need, I personally think that we need to just be a little bit more supportive of each other. I think that, yes, we have our all the natural divides, which are the racial divides, the economic divides, and all those things. We have all those things. But I think that really we need to have a human collective. Like last week, I talked about the socialist collective. We really need to have a human collective where we come together and really support each other. So I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hello, so we're back. This is Noreen Sumter, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. At some point tonight, I will touch on smiling, but right now I'm just touching on, you know, before we can even get to the smile, I want to know, you know, I also want to state that I know it's not everybody in this city And I know that we all do our part in some way in terms of, you know, like we were just saying, somebody falls down the stairs, you know, we do pick them up. Somebody gets lost or something, we do support them. But I think that those are the obvious things, right? Those are the things that we see on a day to day. But, you know, we cannot allow fear of what's happening in our country. I say our country, even though I am a green card holder, I'm not a full citizen yet. We can't allow fear and, you know, to stop and kill off our humanity. We just can't. I think we need to, you know, I don't even know what we need to do. I know what that I'm available to support and help. And I'm all about community and, you know, but I don't know if anybody's out there and they know what there is that we can do to, you know, have us all be more of a collective rather than just singular beings. Watch and just really step into, I don't even know how to language this conversation. I don't know how to language this conversation. I don't want to be in reaction to it either. I'm really wanting to find a solution. And I don't know what that solution would possibly look like. You know, what's the solution? I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss for words on this one. I really am. You know? Shut up. I am at a loss for words. I throw my hands in the air. And ask you as my listeners and people that will be listening to this podcast after it's recorded, what can we do to actually move ourselves forward? I mean, the planet is burning, basically. You know, everything is like the ice caps are melting, they say, and the ice caps are melting. Things are going, animals are going extinct. Food has got GMO in it. I'm not having any sex. You know, it's the end of the world. What can we do? I mean, like, what can we do to, like, you know, wake us up? Like, wake us all up so that we'll be a collective. I mean, if we, like, the taxi driver was saying today, you know, oh, there's like, you know, we what if we go to war? And she goes, you know, you see people getting blown up all over the world and you see all this stuff. Let me tell you, we have no clue. I don't think, has America ever really experienced bombs inside of our country coming from other countries? Have we ever had a war inside of America other than in the beginning, like the Civil War? Have we ever had a real war since then? Huh? Yeah, but was that here or wasn't that in Hawaii?
That's here. That's close enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about in America, like in America itself. I mean, I know Hawaii is America. I do know that. It's continental. But have, as America as a whole, have we ever experienced? No. So I can't even fathom what a war with bombs dropping in this country or buildings being blown up and things like, I can't even fathom. The closest that I've gotten to was 9/11. That was the closest, right? And that was horrific. You know, I have this story that, like, I'm in the city because I was at a BNI meeting. It was 7 o'clock in the morning and I was by Grand Central. And I came out of the meeting and one of the guys who was in our meeting says, oh, the World Trade Center is on fire. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he goes, oh, yeah, the World Trade Center is on fire. And I said, stop that. I said, why are you being such an idiot? That's really a horrible thing to say. I mean, I guess he was in shock. That's why he was laughing like that, right? So I go outside and I look in the bank window and there's the World Trade Center. It's on fire, right? There's like plumes of smoke coming out and it's just, I am just in shock and I don't know what to do because I was supposed to be at a landmark meeting there at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, didn't go to that, but I'm like, how am I going to get home? How am I going to, because I have to go across the bridge to get back to Brooklyn. And I'm like, I'm not going downtown. So I go further uptown and I end up in Bloomingdale's, right? Because I had I still continued on with my chores because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. I was like, my mission was wake up in the morning, go to my B&I, go up to Bloomingdale's, return the suit that I had, come back from there, go to my landmark thing and do that and then go home, right? Well, I couldn't do the latter part, so I said, let me just still go to Bloomingdale's and return the suit, not knowing whether I'll have a body to wear a suit tomorrow, but I didn't know because I just didn't know what was going on. I knew what was going on, but like I really didn't know what was going on. It was like I did not have a frame of reference for 9/11. I did not have a frame of reference. The closest thing that I came to was, oh, Will Smith is going to save us, right? I know it sounds crazy, and I've been saying it for like 100 years now, but I was expecting Will Smith. You know, I had this vision that Will Smith is going to fly in his little helicopter from Independence Day, and he's going to whoop somebody's ass, right? And I really, really, really believe that was like that was my frame of reference. Because where in my life have I ever seen that? Where in my life have I ever seen a massive building with planes piling into it and just imploding? Never, right? I've seen it on television because Hollywood makes those kinds of movies. So my frame of reference is Will Smith, you know, the rapper. He's going to ride in and save the day. And I really believed it. Like I believed it because that was my frame of reference. I had nothing else. Right. And so I go to Bloomingdale's and I come out because I can't spend all day in bloody Bloomingdale's, especially they were arguing and fighting and the foreigners were going at it and the Americans were going at it and people were going at it in Bloomingdale's that day. And I was like, dudes, we don't even know if we're going to survive the day yet. Can we just like do what we need to do? I just was crying. I was devastated. So I come out of there and went to get a hot dog because, you know, you got to eat, right? And yeah, and that's the reality of it. Even though things are going on like that, you still need to eat. You still need to go to the bathroom. You still need to check in on yourself and all that. So I'm in there getting a hot dog and there's this Indian looking girl and she's crying. And I'm like, oh, are you okay? She goes, I'm really scared. And I'm like, what's going on? She says, I look Indian. I look Arab. They're going to start picking at me. That was real for her. That was real for her that she was going to become now a victim of some kind of attack because she looked Middle Eastern, right? Because that was what the news was about. It was like Bin Laden and all this kind of stuff had done this. And, I mean, I comforted her for a little bit because, I mean, that's what was going on in the street. Everybody was comforting each other. Strangers were comforting each other. People were coming together in little groups and stuff and trying to, you know, find a happy medium or trying to get through this thing. And I was like, how am I going to get back to Brooklyn? You know, because I had seen pictures of people, you know, going across the bridge, but there was all that smoke and soot and some people were covered in ash and there was paper flying everywhere. And I was like, I am not going down and inhaling that shit because like with my lungs and my baby bronchitis that I suffered with, I was like, I'm not going to turn that back on. So I decided that I was going to stay uptown for a bit and I hooked up with my friend Laurie and then we went over to a friend of ours house. And when I got to his house, I just collapsed on the bed because I was so stressed out. I was so exhausted. My brain, my reticular activator was looking for survival all over the place. I just like got on his bed and just fell asleep because I was just so exhausted. And then we got up and went to church because he's Catholic. And I figured I'll go with them to church. I went with them to church and then on the way back, I saw some people that I knew from my neighborhood. And you know what's so amazing? What I discovered about that, it's like, I knew these people from my neighborhood, right? And you know, we have people that you see in passing on your regular, you might not say hello to them, but you know them and stuff like that. In that moment, everybody was my friend. Everybody was a buddy. Everybody was a buddy to get me home to where I needed to go because that's just, I think that's just how it goes. That's what I've seen in movies. You know, you hook up, you share your bread and do whatever. And so I hooked up with them because walking with them made me feel more confident and comfortable being able to get on the subway. So I got on the subway. I got on the A train actually. And I didn't think it was running, but it was running. That's a strong train. That A train is a really, really strong train. And I've gotten a train and there was lots of people on the train. But I felt like I was in a twilight zone, right? Because I was sitting next to this lady and I said to her, hey, how are you okay? And she looked at me like I had five heads, right? Literally, she looked at me like I was five heads. And everywhere I looked on the train, I was like, I had to ask myself, did I die or something? Because, no, seriously, it was the weirdest experience. I had to ask myself, did I die or something? Because everybody on this train looks like they're dead or they're like crazy. They like like these were like the people that would ride the train anyway, you know? Right. And but they were I have this conversation about people who are mentally ill, a lot of homeless and stuff like that. Super sensitives is my conversation. They're super sensitive to any kind of activity that happens in New York. They're just super sensitive, and so they find it the natural occurrence is to find a place to survive, and so their survival that day was the subway, right? Yeah. And so when I got on the train, it was like everybody that was on that train, including me, was like they seemed like they were off their heads or something. They weren't present, and I was like, am I dead? You know, I had to ask myself, am I dead? Because this is really... But anyway, I made my way home and I didn't get, you know, covered in soot or anything like that, thank God. And yeah, it's just... We don't know what war looks like in this country. We have no idea. And I pray to God that we never have an idea of what that looks like. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm a bit of a rant today. No, I don't think it's a rant. I think it's just, I'm just feeling hyper vigilant and hyper. And like, I don't have to watch the news to be mindful that, you know, we're in trying times. I think that the conversations that we've been having over the last few hours, you know, it causes me to feel a little bit like I have to be extra vigilant about what's going on in and around me. And, you know, I grew up in London during the times where we had IRA, where they would have bombings or like bombings in London and things like that. And I just look at the way we do. I mean, maybe we're doing some undercover stuff here or some undercover protective stuff that I don't know about. But I know had that been London and I had told the conductor, well, there wouldn't be one conductor on a big train like that. That there was a bag on the left on the train. I think if I said there's a bag left on the subway in London, oh my God, it would have been shut down in 2 seconds, right? They would have been like on it in seconds. Because we're accustomed to bombs going off since I was a kid, 60s, 70s, I don't know, you know, forever. And we're not accustomed to that kind of stuff here. People have no idea. And even though I never experienced it as a youth, it was on TV all the time. So it's probably drilled into my subconscious, which is to pay attention to your surroundings, no matter what you're doing. So I could be laughing hysterically, having a really great time with my friends and stuff, but I'm still mindful. You know, I remember when I was about 16, we had the equivalent of, we had the, I think they were called the Illusion 13, which was, we all, you know, a group of youngsters had a party at a house and somebody set fire to the house and locked the door and 13 kids died, right? And so I'm always of the mind when I go somewhere, I check out where the fire exits are because I want to be able to get out. If there's no fire exit in this place or if it's locked or something, I'm not staying. You know, I'm a little bit, even though it's, I know in my own internal self, this is what's happening with me. This is what I'm looking out for. Nobody has to know what I'm doing, but I always want to make sure I can see the fire exits. They're not locked and I can get out because I will not stay anywhere where I don't feel safe. And so I'm a little bit vigilant about, you know, my sense of safety and the sense of safety, because it's against the law to like lock fire exits and things like that because you don't want people creeping in and doing extras or whatever. But yeah, I grew up in that time when the IRA was bombing and I guess it's just in my subconscious. And like people lying on the floor and being sick and stuff like that, that's just in my humanity. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have you lie on the floor where I can help you out. And if I go through my life up until this point, I mean, I've even forgotten so many, I've gone with so many people to the hospital, strangers. Right. I've gone with so many strangers to the hospital over the time that I've been in New York. It's quite shocking. I remember this young girl. She was on the train. She didn't feel good. And I was sitting next to her and I could see she wasn't well. And I asked her, "Are you OK?" And she says, "No." I said, "Let's get off the train, get on the subway, get on this platform, call the ambulance, call the ambulance." Got her to the hospital, stayed with her until her family came. And they wrote me a really nice note. I mean, you know, thanking me for taking care of their daughter. I don't do it because it's just automatic for me. You know, if I mean, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I mean, I was supposed to be with Ruth at, 5 o'clock? I showed up. What time did I show up? Was it 5:05 or 5:10 or something like that? It didn't take much out of my day to do that little action, even though I did stop the train for 30 minutes. But I think it's worth a life, don't you? I think it's worth a life to look out for. I'd look out for anybody. And I'm hoping that there's somebody looking out for me. And if I ever need that that angel paramedic on the subway, he'll be there. So anyway, let's just take the last segment and and talk about like smiling. I think that you know, smiling, right? I'm talking about a really bad situation that happened on Thursday. But like, even though, like I said, my heart felt like it cracked in two, I still can say that overall in my life, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy and I smile. And I think it's really important that we do look at our lives and wonder, am I happy? You know, and am I happy in the choices that I make? And yes, we all have a sense of fear and we all experience fear, but we can't allow fear to take us out. But again, we have to look at what is the sense of my happiness? I think a smile is worth, like, a smile is priceless, actually. It costs you nothing to give one. You know, the person that's receiving it is happy to receive it, feels really good about it. And I think that it's one of those things that's memorable. You know, you walk into a room and you smile. Somebody walks into a room and they're smiling. It literally lights up the room and you have people, you know, be attracted to you, you know. So I think it's, you know, you can't, you know, like I said, last week when I was reading the information out of How to Win Friends and Influence People, it says that a man with a sour face should not own a shop. Well, I don't think a person with a sour face should own anything. Like, I mean, especially if they're just going to have a sour face all the time. And like, I think it's important to have a smile on your face. It makes you feel lighter. I remember when I first, you know, before I really got like who I was as a human being, my contribution to life and how my energy impacts everybody else. And if I was in a miserable mood, I had it that if I'm in a miserable mood, you're going to be in a miserable mood, right? And it wasn't even that conscious, but it was. It's like in my family, if I was in a bad mood, then don't talk to me because, you know, don't talk to me because, you know, if why are you happy and I'm miserable, right? And that's kind of how it lived for me, but it wasn't necessarily so. I didn't know how to get out of that space. But what I realized is that I can be happy and smiley and still be sad, right? It doesn't mean that, it just means that I have a sad thing going on. Doesn't mean it's taken over my whole life, right? And I read this thing that it says a smile, you can really see a person's smile because it takes up certain muscles in their face. And it also, your eyes gleam in a certain way. It opens up your eyes and you're actually, your smile comes through your face and it comes into your eyes. So a person who's giving like, who's not smiling, they're just going for the motions going, hi. Like you can't, there's no connection. There's no eye connection there. Right? There's no eye connection. Oh, I have to show you the picture that Ruth drew for me. Okay, let me pull this over here a second. I love this. I've been carrying it around. Let's see if I can find it. Oh God, it's in my bag somewhere. Yeah, she's on yellow paper. For my black friends who are like, why has she got to be white? No, she's not. She's on yellow manila paper. She's Melina, right? But Ruth drew this for me the other day, and I just think it was the most funniest thing. I pulled it out and had it on my desk every day since the day you know, created it. And I just think it's the most funniest thing. It's like, I feel like I want to print them and post them all around the city. But, you know, little things, it doesn't have to be something huge. It's just little things that like this, I appreciate this, right? Because she drew it for me, right? Yeah, to keep me company, right? While I was doing the talk and I had no one to talk to, like I needed one. But I just thought it was the funniest thing. And I've had it with me every day since last week, Thursday. And so when I'm working, I have it. It's on my desk. It's the funniest thing. But I love that. Little tiny things make a profound difference in the lives of people, especially when people do things for you in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily expect. But like you have I have the freedom enough to say I've been carrying this around for since Thursday. Yeah. What is it? It's a piece of paper with like, you know, black marker. Right. But I think it's the most fun thing and I really love it. And I knew that you were thinking about me. She was thinking about me when she did it. And so it's really, I don't know. I think it's important to be happy. I mean, even in light of what's going on in our nation, oh my God, it's still so important for us to be happy. And if we do get into hot water, as my mother would call it, and you know, we still have to be happy no matter what. You know, you got to think about like all the atrocities that have happened throughout the world and throughout time. You know, people were still happy. You know, you still had to find that little bit of happiness. And I think happiness comes out of your creation. It comes out of your mind, what you think, how you feel about something. It's important that we realize that it's not an external force. It's an internal force that comes in and goes out into life. So my show was a little bit of a rant tonight, but I still think that we did get the part about the happy, and you can look at there and be happy. Anyway, next week's show, who am I having on next week? I can't remember, but next week's show is going to be a really good show. And the next couple of shows for the next few months are going to be really, really interesting. We're going to have, I'm not political, but I'm going to have a couple of political people come on. I'm going to have Sandra Hicks. I think he's a liberal. And Sergey Patel, I think he's a liberal too. So I'm inviting those two guys on so that there's a mashup, right? They're going to talk. I think they're both vying for the same seat, but different parties. So they're going to be coming on the show. I have a lot of good things happening, and I'm really, really excited about it. And I just want to say thank you to all the people that have been listening to my show since the beginning. And I feel very proud and very happy to have you listen. I had a person write to me last week and said, I missed the show last week. Oh, my God, I was so mad. But she goes, I'll catch up again. I love that. That somebody would actually, it's important that they catch the show. So I just want to say thank you to all the people that have been on the show, people that have, you know, that are coming on the show, and people that watch the show. And let me know if there's something that you want me to talk about. I'll talk about anything. You know, I'll interview practically anyone. They have to be interesting, and then they have to be passionate about what they do. So, you know, those are the prerequisites. So let me know if there's anybody that you would like me to, or anything that you'd like me to bring on the show. And until next week, I wish you the best. And I'm going to give you one order, one charge, which is to look out for your fellow man or woman as you and as we go along this journey in this world. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.